The New York Knicks cannot lose this game, or every bit of momentum that they had snatched in game one gets deflated. They have to win this game, and they have to win it convincingly. You have an opportunity, after doing what you did to Cleveland, to snatch their hearts right out of their chest. You have the opportunity to do that. Are you going to do it or not? That's what this comes down to. You're the New York Knicks. You have to be able to do that. Tonight. Save the thrillers for Cleveland. But when you go home, when you go on that court tonight, it should be to stomp them into oblivion, to shatter their confidence, to send a message, y'all don't have a prayer in hell of beating us. That's how you're the New York Knicks. You should be aiming to beat Cleveland tonight. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. Make no mistake about it. Got a star athlete coming out of college, entering the NBA draft. He'll be on the show a little bit later on today, Mr. Keaton Wagler out of Illinois. We've got a whole bunch of stuff to get into about the National Football League, from Aaron Rodgers to Joe Burrow, college football, LSU, Ed Orgeron returning to them. By the way, I wanted to talk about, you know, the Big Ten and the commissioner and what he had to say about a 2014 playoff. Want to let you know what my feelings are about that particular idea, what I support, what I'm against, et cetera, as we look at the college football playoff landscape and what should happen that would best serve the fans throughout the United States of America and beyond. All of those things are things that I plan on getting into within the next 2 hours, but not before I get into these NBA playoffs, courtesy of Game 2 last night in Oklahoma City, down 1-0, knowing they could ill afford to go down 0-2 against the San Antonio Spurs in this best-of-seven series, with the series scheduled to go back to San Antonio tomorrow night for Game 3. The Oklahoma City Thunder last night handled their business, ended up riding 30 points, 15 in each half, from the reigning two-time league MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, to beat the San Antonio Spurs 122-113 to notch this series at 1-1. Looking ahead to Game 3 on Friday, the Spurs have won 11 straight games after a loss dating back to mid-January. You can't forget that, which is the last time they lost consecutive games, which was at Minnesota and at Oklahoma City. De'Aaron Fox, their star point guard, missed his second straight game with a right high ankle sprain. Mitch Johnson indicated his status will be a series of game time decisions for the rest of the postseason because of that ankle and that high ankle sprain and how it's been hurting. His teammate Dylan Harper suffered a right hamstring injury in the third quarter of last night's game, delivering yet another blow to San Antonio's depleted backcourt. And obviously you look at a guy like Stephon Castle, who had the dunk of the postseason on Isaiah Hartenstein, dunked right in his mug. It was a facial, if ever there was one, okay? He put most dermatologists to shame with what he did against Isaiah Hartenstein. No doubt about that. But still, he still had 9 turnovers. That makes 20 turnovers Stephon Castle had in the first two games of this series, because he had 11 in game one. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, he's not a natural point guard. He's got ball handling responsibilities, but that ain't his gift. He's a two guard. That's who he is. He plays bully ball. He comes right at you and just shoving fat cats aside like paper. That's who Stephon Castle is, okay? So to have him playing point guard duties, which is something he obviously had to do, particularly with Dylan Harper going down, I think that puts San Antonio in a tough spot. It puts them in a tough spot because Oklahoma's defense is like a bunch of piranhas. They're all over you. I mean, you go up, you're usually going up without the damn ball, because their hands are everywhere and they're constantly stripping dudes, okay? And they've got a 55-27 advantage in points off turnovers. Oklahoma's outscored San Antonio 55-27. So this is the kind of situation that we're looking at when we look at the Oklahoma City Thunder going up against San Antonio. I also thought it was a good deal by Dagnall, the coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, when he decided to make sure that Isaiah Hartenstein was primarily the one guarding Victor Wembanyama because he faced him a lot. He was physical with him. He put a body on him. He said, listen, the one thing, I don't have many advantages over this alien. I don't have many advantages over this all-world player. But one of the advantages I do have is that I'm bigger and I'm likely stronger. Let me be in his mug every chance I get. And that's exactly what Isaiah Hartenstein did to Victor Wembanyama, holding him in 21 points, 17 rebounds, 4 blocks. Not shabby numbers by any stretch. But when you just put up 41 points and 24 rebounds, then you know what? This does pale in comparison. And so because of that, Isaiah Hartenstein is being applauded for doing a good job. And we can't necessarily dismiss that notion. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. This series may very well come down to guard play. And that would be sad because it's about who's available against who's not available. I got to give love to Alex Caruso, who's been playing his ass off in this series. Had 17 points last night. 5 of 7 for shooting from the field. 3 of 4 from three-point range. And all 4 of his three throws. Of course, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't miss a free throw. He had all 6 of his en route to 30 points as well, where San Antonio may have missed some of theirs. And so I'm just looking at it from that standpoint, and I'm looking at it through the lens of me being a diehard New York Knicks fan, me praying that the New York Knicks are going to capture a crown for the first time since 1973, me praying for that reality. I do find myself looking at San Antonio and OKC with an even more so of a microscopic eye, because I'm of the mindset like, damn, is there any way we could beat them? Is there any way the New York Knicks could beat any one of these teams? I got to admit to you, I haven't found it yet. When I think about the inordinate amount of bodies that Dagnall came through off the bench onto the court, particularly when J-Dub, Jalen Williams, re-aggravated his hamstring again, I don't know how long he's going to be out now, because he was out since game 2 of the first round. He missed about 6 playoff games. Missed about 6. And still, he comes on the court, first game back, drops 26. Second game, he got to go out because of that hamstring aggravation again. So that's they got 2 dudes named Jalen Williams on this squad. One is this a star guard who dropped 40-plus in the finals last year. Another one is a reserve coming off the bench who's a big body that you could utilize against Wembanyama to sort of try and push him around. So you got all of that going on that we got to pay attention to, no doubt. But I just look at San Antonio and I look at Oklahoma City and I'm like, they just better. I mean, if you're Oklahoma City and Jalen Williams goes down and off the bench, 1 minute it's A.J. Mitchell. Another minute it's Jared McCain. Another minute it's Isaiah Joe. I mean, damn, what are you supposed to do? They just throwing more and more and more able bodies at you from the guard spot if they're the Oklahoma City Thunder. And these are the San Antonio Spurs we're talking about. They don't fold easy. Stephon Castle's a dog. And I mean that affectionately with the utmost respect. That brother's a pit bull. He's fighting everybody. He's going for it. But when you look at him and him having essentially sub for De'Aaron Fox, it's a damn shame. And then Dylan Harper goes down, and that puts him even more of the onus, even more of it, on Stephon Castle. Because that's what, I mean, there's only so much he's going to do, even though he might be a better handling open court. We don't know. I'm just of the mindset right now that it's a really, really tricky situation to look at when you're talking about these dudes. But nevertheless, it's important to point that out. The San Antonio Spurs and Oklahoma City Thunder are the 2 best teams in basketball. And the New York Knicks are 3rd. But are they closing the ranks or not? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. I don't know if we can definitively say that. Because as much as we like what we see from the Knicks and the way they're playing, what's inescapable is the fact that they did it in the first round against the Atlanta Hawks. They did it in the second round against a depleted Philadelphia 76ers squad with Embiid hobbling around all over the damn place. And now they're going up against Cleveland, who some have speculated might need a heart transplant because they just don't have that in them. So with all of that being said, I'm just left here to wonder what's up. You the New York Knicks, what kind of message you send? Like, we've been talking about New York Knicks. I've been talking about Jalen Brunson, as y'all have. I talked about how he bust James Harden's ass so bad he should be arrested for assault. Because that's what he did to James Harden. Excuse me. Had to get some water. You're talking about a James Harden, ladies and gentlemen. One of the most prolific scorers in NBA history. A guy that scoring championships, league MVP, he did it all. And James Harden has had some sensational moments where he has danced on and embarrassed many of opponents. And it just seems like his comeuppance has arrived. Because what Jalen Brunson did to him the other night, I mean, there were numerous switches that put James Harden in front of Jalen Brunson. And Jalen Brunson just danced on him. Got to the hole, right, left, whenever he wanted. Pulled up from three whenever he wanted. Only hit one three. That's a big time three hit. It's the only thing he did. Finishes with 38 points. 38 and six. Six assists. That's what Jalen Brunson did against James Harden. But it was the fourth quarter and the seven or so things that he just did to him. Seven consecutive possessions. Just went at him. I haven't seen that in a long time. And that's what basketball is all about. Eventually, it comes down to mano a mano. And you want to see that, and you want to see how they respond. And James Harden talked about, he just gave a little effort, a little more extra effort. Really? He even said it wasn't going to shake our confidence. Listen to what James Harden had to say here. Play that for me, Nick.
You know, we're a super confident team. You know, obviously we understand, you know, we literally let one slip away, but, you know, we got a lot of positives out of this game. You know what I mean? So we just watched them, figure out what we can correct and, you know, put an entire game together.
The New York Knicks cannot lose this game or every bit of momentum that they had snatched in game one gets deflated. They have to win this game and they have to win it convincingly. You have an opportunity after doing what you did to Cleveland to snatch their hearts right out of their chest. You have the opportunity to do that. Are you going to do it or not? That's what this comes down to. You're the New York Knicks. You have to be able to do that. Tonight. Save the thrillers for Cleveland. But when you go home, when you go on that court tonight, it should be to stomp them into oblivion, to shatter their confidence, to send a message, y'all don't have a prayer in hell of beating us. That's how you're the New York Knicks. You should be aiming to beat Cleveland tonight. Because if you lose this game tonight, all that allure gets wiped out. And then the pressure's back on. It's a seven-game series. What's it going to take for the New York Knicks to win it? And that's simply not a conversation all of us want to be preoccupied having. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. What's going on? Then I'm looking at Kenny Atkinson. And one explanation after another for James Harden. Listen to this coach of the Pistons and what he had to say. Please take that, you know.
Without you, we're knocked out in the first round. That's first. My personal opinion. So let's just stop that. We're in a great position. You've played great. Sometimes micro experiences get exaggerated. So, you know, keep being yourself.
Keep being yourself. That's his advice. That's his advice. Keep being yourself. I want James Harden to be anything but himself based on what I saw in the last game. That's terrible advice, in my humble opinion. But he's the coach. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. I just think that that's not the way to go. Ladies, switching to football. Ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday, right at the tail end of the show, we got news that Aaron Rodgers indeed is going to call this upcoming season his last. It's over. He's retiring after this NFL season. Let me tell folks something here. You can say what you want about him now. You can say what he wasn't in Pittsburgh or what he was. You can point out how disgusted he was in the end being a New York Jet. Okay? How that didn't work out for him. You can even point back to his latter years or his late years, his last years in Green Bay. But you know what you can't do? Look at this champion, this Super Bowl MVP, this four-time league MVP, this five-time first-team Pro Bowler, this 10-time Pro Bowler, and act like he was nothing special. He was a bad man. Yes, he was. And I think it's one of those situations where you look at Aaron Rodgers, and considering all those laudables, of course he's going to the Hall of Fame as a first ballot. Not a second or third, a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's who Aaron Rodgers is. That's who he has been. I'm just glad, you know, that this is it. Because here's the thing. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan too. And there's no fun in knowing you're not really going anywhere this year. You want the possibilities open to you. You want the world to be your oyster. You don't want a situation where you know you what the outcome is. You don't want that. You don't want that. But that's what Aaron Rodgers is dealing with right now for himself, because right now he's an average quarterback, ladies and gentlemen. He ain't going to be better than that. He's going to be 43 years of age in December. And he thought it was it when Mike Tomlin said goodbye. Until Mike McCarthy came as the new head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they said, hey, might want to think about this. I got it. I totally get it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. All I'm saying is that I don't think the Steelers are going anywhere. Aaron Rodgers was decent last year, but he's not great and he's not capable of being great anymore because Father Time defeats everyone. It's undefeated. And Aaron Rodgers is going to be 43 years of age. We can act like we don't know, but we know. I just look at the Steelers. You haven't won a playoff game since 2016. Why the hell would I believe you're going to win one now? I don't. That's my problem with Pittsburgh Steelers. 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. Your calls and more coming up next. You're listening live to Stephen A. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Be back with in a minute.